Tell me if you recognize the words to this tune. My daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me, just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that is quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from a lot of folks. It seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red. Some guy would laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Anyone recognize that? Yeah, these lyrics are from The Boy Named Sue, made popular by Johnny Cash way back in 1969. It's not a Christmas song, but we've been talking about names this morning, haven't we? It speaks to the importance of a name, how names can shape our destiny and guide our lives. Sue became a tough man and a good fighter because of that name his father gave him, a name which provoked all kinds of teasing. Most of us recognize that names are important. Expectant parents put serious effort into studying names, trying them out. "What do you think about Blair?" she asks her husband. "Oh, never mind, it means peat moss." "How about Caleb?" he responds. "Oh, that means dog." Obviously, when I was researching some of your names, I chose some and left alone the others. Of course, people have different reasons for choosing names, right? Names need to sound right and feel right. They need to avoid nasty rhymes and unpleasant associations. People choose names to honor friends and family or people they admire. And for some people, a name's meaning is important as well. Whatever guidelines that we choose, names are important to us, and they've been important to people throughout the ages. All we have to do is refer to this morning's gospel lesson. Today we are spectators at what first appears to be a very sad situation. Joseph has found out that his fiancée is pregnant. Now, there's nothing new about pregnant women walking down the aisle, but these circumstances are a little more complicated. You see, Joseph and Mary haven't been fooling around. And he knows he's not the child's father. Imagine being in that situation. Imagine having children or grandchildren in that situation. We can only imagine the anger, the betrayal, the hurt that Joseph is feeling as he thinks about Mary and all those plans they had been making. Many men in his situation would be thinking about revenge. And in his day, he could have had her charged with adultery, which was a very serious crime in that time. But we are told that Joseph is kind and caring. Righteous is the way the gospel writer describes him. Joseph doesn't want his pound of flesh. Even while he's been hurt, embarrassed, he doesn't want Mary to suffer. Joseph just wants to move on. And so he determines to break off the engagement quietly. After having made this decision, he goes to bed. But other plans are afoot. While he's sleeping, bigger designs than Joseph's hopes to father his fiancée's newborn, greater purposes than Joseph's wish for a good reputation, a good name. Into Joseph's dreams appears an angel. And the angel delivers this message from the Lord. "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. You will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." I wonder what Joseph was thinking as he rolled out of bed the next morning. Did that really happen? What did I eat for supper? I wonder what Joseph felt when he ran into Mary later that day and saw that bulge in her tummy. Could this really be God's salvation? Now, Joseph had probably a few ideas of names he would have chosen for his children. If you read those verses that precede today's reading, you'll realize that Joseph had a pretty famous background from which to draw different names. But Jesus, a new Joshua, one who will save his people from their sins? Most of us have great expectations for our children and our grandchildren, and so sometimes we give them big names, noble names, names that will maybe push them to aspire to greatness, names of a beloved aunt or uncle, names of a talented sports figure or a successful actor or business person, names that in their meaning express dignity and honor. And yet I think few people would consider naming their child God's salvation. Most of us wouldn't dare to say of a daughter that she will save her people from their sins. For while we hope that our children will grow up to do a little good, even broach a little reconciliation, human brokenness is a bigger problem than our trade disputes with China and the U.S. I mean, just think of the sins in our own lives. There are sins of commission, and there are sins of omission. Not just what we've done, but all the things that we haven't done. There are the sins of our youth, maybe sins like lust and greed. And there are sins that plague us through adulthood, sins like maybe pride or bitterness. What individual could ever tackle all these problems? Who could ever pay our debts and go the distance where we have missed the mark? Surely not this illegitimate child of Mary. Of course, we are told that this isn't any ordinary baby. This pregnancy is spirit conceived. God is especially involved in the life of this mother and child. For his part, the gospel writer sees this foretold much earlier, way back in Scripture in Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God is with us. Well, after his dream, Joseph accepts Mary and welcomes the babe he didn't father. The question that this text lays before us is whether we will also welcome Jesus, the little baby that grew up to be a man. I mean, will we rely on the testimony of others? Will we accept the witness of the Holy Spirit that God has indeed launched a plan of rescue and deliverance, and that it comes through a human being? It comes from Mary's womb. A recovering addict tells the story about the day he began his road to salvation. He had locked himself in a hotel room to take care of his $600 a day habit, as usual. But this time, for whatever reason, he finally realized, he noticed that whenever he turned to chemicals to achieve a sense of happiness, he went off to be alone. He left others. He ministered to his own needs. Well, could it be that ultimately, sin is a decision to minister to ourselves? Some people choose to minister to themselves through chemical dependency. Others through acquiring money, building empires. Others through shopping or gambling. There are many different ways of going it alone. But if sin is deciding to go it alone to meet our own needs, could our actual rescue be found in letting others near? Could our salvation mean welcoming the one whose name means God saves, God is with us? Even if Scripture isn't hiding the fact that this salvation comes through an unwed teenage mom from Palestine. Well, may we all have the faith of Joseph. And may we too see the arrival of God's salvation in our lives. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. Amen.